हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ब्रह्मा देवानाम् प्रथमः सम्बभूव विश्वस्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता सब्रह्म विद्याम् सर्वविद्याप्रतिष्ठाम् अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह. So the first mantra, this mantra reveals the timelessness of the scriptures, timelessness of the Veda. Vedas are not the product of human intellect. It is not written by somebody, you know, working intellectually, and it has been revealed to the rishis directly from Bhagavan. When you say directly from Bhagavan, means what? Vedas got revealed to the rishis. And they have been perennially eternal. Never was a time. These Vedas always been there. They have been there. Whenever the, in every time pralayam takes place, Vedas become unmanifest. Again they become manifest. Therefore, the first mantra reveals the timelessness of the Shastram. Therefore it is said how Bhagavan himself gave this wisdom to the Shishya, Atharva. Then, second mantra reveals the importance of studying Shastram with the help of the teacher who knows the Sampradayaha, the teaching method, traditional teaching methodology, which implies the teacher must have been a disciple of a teacher who would have been a disciple of another teacher. The second mantra reveals the importance of studying the Shastram with the help of a teacher who knows the Sampradayaha, the traditional method of traditional teaching methodology. And this traditional teacher must be a sampradaya with. The sampradaya with means the one, knower of sampradaya. And who would have been a disciple of another guru, teacher? Who would have been a disciple of another teacher? That is revealed by the second mantra. That is why it says, the second mantra says, Atharva, the Brahma gave this knowledge to Atharva. Atharva gave it to Angir. And Angir gave it to Satyavaha, son of Bharadwaja. And Satyavaha, son of Bharadwaja, gave his wisdom to Angiras. Like that, he talks about few teachers and few disciples. The parampara, the guru paramparayaha, no? Guru paramparas, mahimam, it is pratipadayati. Importance. Then the third mantra reveals that even every Upanishad is in the form of a dialogue. The teaching is always in the form of a dialogue. Dialogue means this disciple keeps aside all his doubts without interrupting, without questioning, without talking back. Just how much ever he is pressure he has inside to talk and ask for things, quietly sits and listens, is supposed to listen to the teacher. Because what subject matter that is discussed in Upanishad is the subtlest. It is not about an object. It is all about this subject and the subtlest. There is nothing subtler than the reality. This the self, Therefore, here there is a method how the student should listen. There is a method or method how the teacher takes the student systematically, slowly, step by step. Thereby, the student can effortlessly, without any vagueness, without any difficulty, student can have the vision. It's a method. Therefore, that is why the students are always in tradition, completely is different. No discussion is allowed. No talking back is allowed. No questioning is allowed. Initially, all that the student needs to do is, the student has to go to the teacher with all politeness, with all humility, and sit there. It doesn't mean the teacher really looks down upon the student. The teacher also has great respect for the student. But the student who goes to the teacher, the teacher has 100% genuine concern and care for the student. And the student teacher knows the preciousness of time of the student. And the importance of, the responsibility on the part of the teacher. Therefore, the student also knows, the teacher knows the responsibility and, what is the teacher's responsibility. Therefore, the student goes with all politeness and all humility and approaches the teacher and asks for knowledge and sits quietly in front of the teacher and allows the teacher to talk. Okay? And until the teacher stops, no question is raised. Even in between, even if the student has some questions, always the teacher, student listens. Therefore, the Upanishad is always some of a dialogue, and teacher must speak, student must listen. Students are not supposed to interrupt or talk in between or question in between until the teacher finishes the whole thing. Because it will be difficult for people to sit and listen. People who are not used to sitting and listening to the teacher for a long time. Always they have the habit of interrupting and asking questions. Now, this again another pressure. This again sort of psychological, emotional problem. I had to talk something back. That patience is not there. That they interrupt and talk something back. And here, that's also part of culture here. Just quietly listening, learning to listen to what the teachers say is also a big thing. And teachers sometimes you can listen and listen and listen. Then you can say, the teacher hasn't said anything. He was quietly listening. He didn't say anything. You can say that later on. But still, when the teacher is talking, the student has to listen. And any doubt one suddenly picks up the doubts also, those doubts, the student is supposed to keep aside all the doubts, then in due course of time, if the student is patient to listen to the teacher, all the doubts and queries the student slowly finds in as part of the teaching, we'll also see those doubts which rise will be resolving slowly. Initially, when you start listening, you may not have any doubts. As you started listening, slowly doubts will come, queries will come. And as you listen further, more and more you listen, the same doubts and queries which arose, they will be resolving. That's the knack of teaching. Therefore, here also, how the student approached the teacher is said in the third mantra. Then, the fourth mantra, and the third mantra also gives an important question by the student. Because the student is asking for the knowledge of one thing. Why should a student go to a teacher who can teach what he already knows? One should approach a teacher, and then what the teacher who can teach something what the student does not know. If I go all the way to somebody and ask for some knowledge, the teachers go and repeat what I already know, then there's no purpose. Isn't it? It's a waste of time, energy. So always the teacher is supposed to teach the student especially this spiritual teacher, is the one who teaches something what the student does not know. Because the student teacher is supposed to be a mobile shastra. Mobile shastra means what? The shastra's vision is now the vision of the teacher. Therefore, the teacher through communication can give that vision, transfer that vision from his mind to the student's mind. It's a question of time, that's all. Therefore, the student and then listens to the teacher, and so he is asking for that knowledge. Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Very, very famous question this is. What is that one thing, knowing which everything else known as it were, as well known, becomes as well known? Yenda ondre arindal ellam ariyappattadagumo, anda ondre edu? No. And this is the question asked by the student. What is that? Why this particular question? Because once this the thirst for knowledge on the part of mind is quenched for good, then thirst for anything in this world is as well quenched. Okay? Desire for knowing more, more, more. Why? Desire for knowledge, thirst for knowledge is quenched for good, then thirst for anything else will be as well quenched. So which implies what? One thing, by knowing which my desire for knowledge will come to an end. My search on the part of the mind will come to an end. If the search on the part of the mind will come to an end, search on the part of the mind coming to an end implies one becoming completely free from free hold of desires. Okay, search on the part of the human mind coming to an end. Mind becoming free from desire for knowledge. Or is, in fact, mind becoming free from the hold of any desire. Mind becoming completely free from all hold of all desires. Understand? So what is that one thing? By knowing one thing, all the desires will be resolved for good. Yenda oru porulai arivadal, yellam ariyappattadagumo, yenda ondre endru avandru ariyappaduvadal, aasai endra ondru mulmayaga thanaga neengumo. That is the question actually. Understand, you are not giving up the desires. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? Everything else becomes as well known. What is that by knowing which all everything else becomes known means all the desires become fulfilled as it were? Understand now? Once all the desires become fulfilled as it were, that means what? You don't need to fulfill your desires. When, what does it mean? You don't need to fulfill your desires means what? Only if the desire arises, then you need to fulfill the desire, isn't it? The desire itself does not arise. What does it mean? It is as good, not having a desire, non-rising of desire is as good as having got the desire fulfilled. Isn't it? It's a very important thing to know that. And then other people think, okay, if I know the truth, then all my desires will be fulfilled. It means what? Now I want to have some five different big, huge palatial houses. Okay, one in Croydon, one in South London, one in West London, one in North London. Okay, all this, my desires will be fulfilled means what? If I know the truth, I'll be blessed with five different palatial house in five different parts of London. Not such disease, okay? It's not that way. By knowing the truth, you will have all your desires fulfilled, as it were, means what? That means you will, see, not having a desire or non-rising of desire is as good as having got the desire fulfilled. Aasai illamai, aasai elamai, ella aasaigalum nirivetrappattadarku oppa. Isn't it? That is why he is asking now, if there is one substance, one vastu, one thing, if you know that, and all you will be free from desire for knowledge. Why everything else becomes known as it were. That means what? Everything else gained as it were. You have to say that. By knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. Thereby, it means everything else gained as it were. And then everything else becomes gained also. Therefore, what? You won't be free from the hold of disease. All one's disease also, it's like getting all one's disease fulfilled. What is that? How nice it is. That means one will revel in fullness. Which implies one will revel in fullness. See, what is that one thing? By knowing which, one can revel in fullness, that one, all one's knowledge, one's desire for knowledge will be now fulfilled for good, and all one's desire will be resolved. What is it? One thing. That's the main question he asked, and that means one. The teacher should directly tell the teacher, "Come on, you need to know Brahman. If you know Brahman, all your desires will be fulfilled." And that's the only answer he should have given. Instead, this was a local tradition of. The teacher shouldn't ask the question, what is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? The teacher immediately should have given the answer what? Knowing Brahman, knowing the absolute reality of the universe, okay? One becomes, knowing the reality of the universe is what? Is knowing everything else. Everything else becomes known as it were. He could have easily told the answer. He did not, because if he tells jumps like that, student might get this misguided. But no, because he knows the student needs some, she should be given the answer slowly. So first he explains what, he talks about twofold knowledge. Look at it. So, fourth mantra, the teacher did not give the answer directly, immediately to the student, because the teacher was very much interested in preparing the student before even he starts giving the answer. So, it makes it very clear. All that needs to be known in this universe can be categorized into twofold knowledge as paravidya and aparavidya. Aparavidya will help one have artha, kama and dharma. Paravidya is for the fourth purushartha, mokshaha. Isn't it? Therefore, aparavidya will serve as means one needs to have in order to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma to live this life, thereby slowly one can prepare oneself mentally for paravidya, which itself is mokshaha. That is very important, isn't it? So, he talks about aparavidya and paravidya. And there he makes it very clear, what is aparavidya, he tells first. So, other than the knowledge of this self, knowledge of anything other than this self is aparavidya. And there, other than the knowledge of the self, knowledge of anything other than the knowledge of self is aparavidya. Means what? So he talks about all the Vedas and everything is comes under the category of aparavidya. So any discipline, so you can say knowledge of anything is always knowledge of an object which is within the realm of the material jagat. Even psychology, psychiatry, understand now, everything is comes under what? Aparavidya only. So, knowledge of anything which is an object of knowledge and which falls within the realm of the material jagat is aparavidya. And there he makes it very clear. Even the Upanishads, which form the Jnanakanda part of the Veda, which serve as means of knowledge of the reality, even the textbooks, even the words of the Upanishads, all of them come under the category of aparavidya only. So by studying the Upanishads, now, with the help of the teacher, the knowledge which rises in the form of a thought, of knowledge of this self, knowledge of the reality of the jagat, which rises in the mind as a thought, okay, of the very self, is alone is what? Paravidya. Akhanda, understand now? Akhandartha vritti jnanam means what? We say the vritti which rises for which the object of the knowledge for which the object is the very self. Self is subject is the object of knowledge. Very subject is object of knowledge. Then he says that is paravidya. He explains that in the fourth mantra. In the fifth mantra he explains that. So yaya aksharam adhigamyate. Paravidya is that by which aksharam adhigamyate, by which the imperishable reality becomes understood. Then, the sixth mantra is a beautiful mantra wherein the swarupam of the reality Brahman, the swarupam of Brahman, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is available for recognition as the self, as the meaning of the word I, is it clear now? That is revealed. I'll repeat again. The swarupam of Brahman, the absolute reality, Brahman the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, as the meaning of the word I, that is whether you can put it within brackets, is revealed in this sixth mantra in a nutshell. So, Brahmanaha Swarupam is given in a nutshell in this sixth mantra. And this meaning will be elaborately commented upon, discussed later on in the second mundakam, it will be discussed. The one mantra he says, sixth mantra of the first section of first mundakam alone reveals what? Nature of the reality. Parambarul nudiya swarupam enna enbadhi solvadhu aaradhu mantra. Parambarul eppadhi rikirudhu? What is the absolute reality? How it is? what is the absolute reality, the nature of reality is very well, but in a nutshell, unfolded, implied in the words of the sixth mantra. Or I can sixth mantra consists of words revealing the nature of reality, Brahman, in a nutshell. And which will be elaborately discussed where? In the second mundaka. And also the second mundaka and also the first section, the third mundaka. And the seventh mantra, Brahman being the Ishwaraha. Brahman being the reality, being the Lord of the universe. Who is the Lord of the universe? There is no Lord sitting here with a diadem and knife and sword, here. Who is the Lord here? So here the Brahman, the reality of the universe, being the Lord of the universe, is revealed in the next mantra. If Brahman, the reality, is the Lord of the universe, how do we say Brahman is the Lord of the universe? Parambarule Talaivan. How do we say that? Because there is both the causes of the universe is Brahman. Not only one cause, okay? Both the causes are Brahman. So Brahman, here, the material cause of the universe is Brahman. The efficient cause of the universe also is Brahman. Intelligent cause of the universe also is Brahman. So Brahman being the Lord of the universe is revealed in this next mantra. How? By stating how Brahman, both the causes of the universe are none other than Brahman. Through an illustration it gives how Brahman, the reality, the pure knowledge, is there as both the causes. That is, what cause here? As abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. Okay, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. Abhinna, Brahman, the reality, is one, inseparable, both material and the efficient cause of the universe. And through it's also, this mantra also gives an illustration. Now, what is that? Mantra talks about Urna Nabihi. Very famous Urna Nabihi. This Upanishad really makes Urna Nabihi very famous. Okay, in the whole of Jagat, whoever understands the Advaita Vedanta, they have to think of Urna Nabihi. Next to Bhagavan, who do you think in the universe? Urna Nabihi. Know that? Very important spider. Look at this. Spider in all its smallest insect has got what now? Look at this. What importance it has got. Ur Nabhi. No Advaiti, no Acharya can ever miss Ur Nabhi. Spider. Look at this. Everybody has talked about spider. Like who is talked about? Whoever is who becomes very popular? Whoever becomes the talk of this society is the most popular. Isn't it? Either by some right action or wrong action, by some good deeds or for sure wrong deeds, or by his being special in some given field, they become talk of the society. And they become popular. And Urna Nabihi, being the two causes, both the cause of its own web, has become really, subject matter of somebody who cannot be missed by any wise person. Isn't it? Very great. So, both the causes. Urna Nabihi Srijate Grinnate Cha. Look at it. Creates, it holds. That means, for knowledge also, knowledge of how to make its web it has, and how to make use of it having created it, understand how to live it, and when not necessary, how to withdraw that back to itself. Okay? The material is also from Urna Nabihi. Knowledge required to create this also from Urna Nabihi. Therefore, how Brahman, the reality, Parambarule, Anatrikum Talevana Irtali Sulvade. Eppudu Talevan, how do you say reality is the Lord of the universe? Both the cause of the universe are nothing, none other than Brahman. Therefore, this universe is inseparable from Brahman. Understand now? Brahman is non-separate from the universe. Lord and the universe are non-separate. From the standpoint of the universe, we say creator of the universe is Brahman. Look at it. From the standpoint of the universe, we say creator of the universe is Lord. Not only creator, from the standpoint, please remember, we never say from the standpoint of reality, okay? The standpoint of the Lord, we never say. Who is the Lord here? From the standpoint of the universe, reality is looked upon as the Lord. There is no Lord sitting here. Please listen to me very carefully. From the standpoint of the universe, reality is looked upon as the Lord. Because reality does not claim, I am the Lord of the universe. You know that? Reality doesn't say that. Reality never says, I am the Lord of the universe. The concept of Lord, see, how do we people, we human beings as individuals, when we try to understand, break ahead and understand what is the truth of the universe, we need to know, unless and until we know the truth, and we will be mad, you know, after things or something or the other. So better we had to put an end to our madness, and the only choice is what? We had to know the truth. No other way. We are helplessly mad. Understand now, not only we want to be mad, we are helplessly mad after so many things, and somehow we feel fed up with our being mad after so many things, and we have to put an end to this. That means better, no? Be mad after the reality, knowledge of the truth. Now then, put an end to it. Somehow we have to put an end to this. That is why we want to know what the truth is all about. Then for such people, no, for individuals, in our understanding, there is no Lord other than the reality. Paramparulai thavira veru oru iraivan illai. Veru oru thalaivan illai. Lord means what? Thalaivan, isn't it? The head of the universe. Who is the Lord of the universe? There is no Lord other than the reality. Therefore, how do you say reality is the Lord of? Lord of the universe is the reality? Because there is no other cause of the universe. What cause? Material cause of the universe is the Lord. If intelligent cause of the universe also is the Lord. Both the cause are the only reality. Therefore, what universe? From the standpoint of the universe, the Lord is. Okay, the creator of the universe is the Lord. Sustainer of the universe also is the Lord. The one in whom entire universe resolves also is what? The Lord. That is why we give three different functional names for the only Lord as what? As Vishnu, Brahma. Understand now? Brahma, Vishnu and Shivaha. Isn't it? We give Hiranyagarbha, Virat and Antaryami or Shivaha. We give these names. Both the names. So what is this we say here? This Brahman, the reality, and where is the Maya Shakti? Where is the Brahman, the reality, plus its own inseparable Shakti? The inseparable power of Brahman, okay, like how we say, the stillness of water, even the of water we say, that of does not mean stillness is something distant from H2O. Similarly, when you say the Maya Shaktihi, the creative power of the Lord, okay, which is looked upon as, which is said to be the material, the matter in its subtlest original form, which is not away from Brahman, which does not have independent existence outside of the reality. And we say Brahman plus Maya, what is Maya? The unmanifest Jagat. The Jagat is unmanifest. Where is it? Not outside of Maya. Jagat is in the form of Maya. Maya manifest is what? Manifest. Maya is manifest means what? Jagat is manifestation of Maya. Jagat is unmanifest means what? Unmanifest Jagat is Maya. Manifest Maya is Jagat. Please listen to me. Unmanifest Jagat is Maya. Manifest Maya is Jagat. But this, whether Maya is manifest as the Jagat, or whether Jagat is unmanifest as the Maya, where does it exist? Not outside of awareness. Is it clear now? Whether Jagat is unmanifest as the Maya, or the Maya is manifest as the Jagat, it is not outside of awareness Brahman. Therefore, Maya plus this, Brahman plus Maya is equal to, we say, Karana Prapanchaha. Karana Prapanchaha, the causal universe. We say causal universe means what? Universe in its causal form. Karana Prapancha, universe in its causal form is what? Karana Prapanchaha. Causal universe. Means what? Brahman plus Maya Shaktihi. I simply say the Brahman plus Maya is equal to what? Ishwaraha, Shivaha, Antaryami. Those are the names we say. Then Brahman plus, no, manifest Maya, okay? Brahman plus Sukshma Prapanchaha. Brahman plus subtle universe is equal to what? Hiranya Garbha. Karana Prapanchaha, then Sukshma Prapanchaha. Then Brahman plus Sthula Prapanchaha, gross universe, is equal to what? Virat Vishnu. Why? Because Brahman is always the substratum, unchanging, underlying reality for the Jagat in its gross form, in its subtle form, in its unmanifest form. In unmanifest form, it's called Maya. The Maya manifest in subtle universe is what? Suksha Prapancha. Maya manifest as gross, subtle and gross what now? Sthula Prapanchaha. So, never, Maya is never outside of Brahman. Whether unmanifest as the Maya or manifest as the universe. Is it clear now? Therefore, from the standpoint of the Jagat, okay, we say, the creator of the universe is the Lord, sustainer of the universe is the Lord, okay, the one in whom everything, the entire universe resolves also is the Lord. A Lord is the one who is always there, okay, being a source of creation, being a source of sustenance, a source of resolution of the universe. Understand? And therefore, Brahman is both, being both the cause of the universe, is said to be the Lord of the universe. Not only that, this Brahman being both the causes of the universe, we say here, Brahman is looked upon as the cause of the universe from the standpoint of the universe. Okay? Because Brahman never claims himself to be the cause. Very careful. When you say Lord of the universe, cause of the universe, we should never say Brahman is the cause of the universe. We should always say cause of the universe is Brahman. Brahman is the creator, we should never say. Okay, the Lord of the universe is Brahman. Understand now? Lord of the universe is Brahman. Ipudha solano. Why? Because it doesn't claim itself to be. Is it clear now? Why I'm saying? And now we say, if there is no other cause, there is no cause other than Brahman of this universe. Therefore, we say what now? Brahman and the Jagat, or Ishwaraha and the Jagat, are non-separate, inseparable. This is what? Advaita Drishtihi. Understand now? The whole universe is non-separate from the reality, inseparable from the reality, the whole universe is manifestation of the reality. Is it clear now? Therefore, this concept of Lord, so Lord of the universe being Brahman, because both the cause of the universe being Brahman Lord of the universe is looked said to be Brahman. Okay, now is understood to be Brahman. That is revealed in this 8th mantra. Then 9th mantra reveals that the 7th mantra is further elaborated on the following 2 mantras. 8th mantra reveals Brahman being the material cause of the universe. Or I can say material cause of the universe being Brahman is revealed by the 8th mantra. And intelligent cause of the universe being Brahman is revealed by the 9th mantra. 8th reveals material cause of the universe being Brahman is revealed by the 8th mantra. If intelligent cause of the universe being Brahman is revealed by the 9th mantra. Is it clear? Allah's nutshell. You will remember now, won't forget. So these 4 mantras you can always remember this. 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. I am giving you homework. Okay? I know you would have already read it in Swamiji's book, but still I am giving extra homework. These 4 mantras you have to read again. Okay? The book. Now, 8th mantra. How? 8th mantra, in fact, talks about the Srishti. 8th mantra talks about the Srishtihi creation. You can say Srishti Prakriya or Karana Karya Prakriya is used there. In the 8th mantra, Srishti Prakriya or Karana Karya Prakriya is used. That means what? What do we mean Karana Karya Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya? Brahman being the cause of the cause of the universe being Brahman is revealed just to make us understand Brahman being the only reality. And Srishti Prakriya means what? Srishti Prakriya, the method of analyzing the Srishti. And Srishti Prakriya, whenever in any Upanishad, wherever it discusses about Srishti, we should understand Upanishad's interest is not in Srishti at all. Srishti is not given importance. Through the Srishti Prakriya, the Brahman being the only cause of the universe, and Brahman, the universe being non-separate from Brahman, thereby Brahman being the only reality, no, is in fact made clear. That is the idea, purpose of talking about this Srishti Prakriya. And in this, the 8th verse here, through which the Upanishad presents Brahman being the material cause of the universe, it says how Srishti comes into being in this text. I told Brahman is, I have already talked to you, but I am repeating it. Brahman is the absolute reality. What is absolute reality? We know Chaitanyam, Shuddham Chaitanyam. Pure consciousness is the reality. Or you can say pure knowledge is the reality. Thuvimayana arive parambarul. Understand? So pure knowledge or pure consciousness or pure awareness is the reality. Absolute reality. Ultimate truth. And what is this reality? It has no beginning. It has no end. It doesn't undergo any changes. That's okay, fine. What about time then? Time has a beginning. And said, therefore, time itself has time limitation. And space also has what? Time limitation. Because there is a time, the time and space are not there. And anything and everything which exists in the realm of time and space also definitely have what? Time limitation, spatial limitation. Therefore, this reality alone is beginningless, endless, changeless thing. And this reality is the existence of the entire Jagat, everything. And the reality is self-existent. It does not depend upon anything as far as existence. This is Brahman. And this Brahman, inseparably, it has its own creative power, which is Jnana Shaktihi. Understand now? Its own power, the creative power of Brahman is nothing but knowledge. Understand now. Brahman has this power. And that power in its subtlest original form, which does not take outside of Brahman, is said to be what? Maya. The Shakti is called Maya. We don't say Maya Shakti. Who is the Parashaktihi? Mahashaktihi. Sakala Shaktihi. Understand now, all powers put together is what? One source of absolute power. Understand now, that power, this is subtlest, that power is nothing but the matter in its subtlest original form. Okay, much subtler than even the so-called energy. Understand now, power. That power is not outside of this pure consciousness. Consciousness and the power, okay, are not separable. That is why Umayoru Bahatan. Understand now, Umayoru Bahatan, why Umayoru Bahatan? In Tamil we say, no, better half of Shiva. Okay, Shiva has, Shakti has better half. Why better half? There's no way of this. That is why we say, who is great? Who is superior to Shiva? Who is Shiva? Shakti or Shiva? They both quarrel. How will it be? And Shakti will say, without me, you know, you will be jadam. Without me, you are powerless, okay? I make you powerful. Shakti says, okay, you are powerless. Power says, power tells, okay, to consciousness. The power tells, without me, you will be powerless. Okay, because of me, you are powerful. Shaktiman. Understand? And the reality says, come on, you have no independent existence, mind you. You are outside of me. Where are you? Will disappear if I am not there, okay? Understand? It's like amazing, isn't it? That's why they always personalize, that's why the Ardhanarishvara. I'll take you when you come next time. We have this, there's a Malay called Tirichangodu. Tirichangodu, we go, there's a statue where Shiva and there's a one big. There's a spring, I tell you, amazing water, so tasty. And they had to just take the Varchak priest only go into the temple and on the top of the mountain and the Ardhanarishvara Shiva and Devi temple. Yeah, only one statue, one stone. And then you have to take the head, there's a small hole underneath the feet of this Lord Shiva. They take from water from there. They take so much of what they take, but water always there. Water comes, spring. They take from, this is called Tirtham. Very tasty water. Very clean and nice, well covered, closed. Nobody can do anything. Head dig and take. No, it's not possible. I don't know how it came. It's been there for many, we don't know. It's called Tirichangod. In near, we had 1.5 hours drive from Coimbatore. I mean 2 hours drive from Coimbatore. Erode. Amazing. So people go all the way to go and worship and pray. If they have, if husband and wife, they have misunderstandings and problems, and to avoid the divorces, and the apostles will say, come on, ayyavukka mokkan naran sariyilla, better go to Tirichangu, no? Go to Tirichangodu and then go do some pujas and come back. So you'll be fine. Okay, some graha dosham now, you are like, no? So you'll be fine. After some time, better go and worship there. People will come there and pray. Now what I'm saying here, that inseparability, where is Maya Shakti? Okay? What is Maya? What is Maya? Why Shakti is called Maya? Not Maya Shakti. Shakti is called Maya, or the absolute power. Why? Because Yama. The Shakti is very much there, but Shakti has no independent existence. Shakti does not exist outside of awareness. It has to become very clear. Shakti, the power, does not exist outside of the reality, the consciousness. That power is what? How does that power look? How is that power? This poor mind wants to know. And the mind itself, or that power, has undergone a change to become the mind. Understand? That is why this mind can never, how much I tries to comprehend how the reality would have been the mind should not be there. Understand now? The mind is not there. The reality is what? Reality. Understand now? Its truth is what? As it is. Is it clear now? This already, the Maya has undergone change to become the mind. That's the problem. Now, anyway, what I want to say here, there is a power, and which that power is said to be what? Is in fact the matter in its original form. What is the original form of the matter? All the whole jagat is material. Okay? Product of the matter. But how the matter was originally, how it would have been originally, that is what? That is the form of power. What power? The power Shaktihi. It's a matter in its original, subtlest form. It was in the form of just the power. Shaktihi. And where is it? It's called Maya. Why? Because it has no independent existence. Where is it? It's inseparably with awareness, consciousness. Not outside, it does not exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, what can we say now? We can say that the reality is the Shakti is the power, and the reality, the power which does not exist outside of the reality. Reality is what? Powerful. Understand now? Shaktiman. Therefore, powerful, with the power is what? The powerful is what now? We say Shiva, Ishwaraha. So, Brahman, the reality, plus Maya. Shaktihi is equal to what? Even though I say plus Maya Shaktihi, they are not two different things. I am just saying. Brahman is, Maya Shakti is never away from Brahman. When you say Brahman, Maya Shakti is where? One with Brahman. Understand now? Inseparably with Maya Shakti, he is inseparably with, one with Brahman. Reality is equal to Ishwaraha. Hope I have made it very clear. And here, what is that which undergoes a change to become the Jagat? So this Upanishad presents Srishti in such a way. A Brahman, the awareness, with its power, as a powerful, alone is there. Understand now? Then what happens? This Maya Shakti undergoes a change, thereby Brahman becomes, Brahman bulges. That bulged state of Brahman, is get to be what he given the name? Is he given the name here? Annam. Annam. Then afterwards what happened? This Maya Shakti, manifests. Maya Shakti alone undergoes a change. Look at this. Shakti undergoes a change, not the Shaktiman. Understand now? Shakti undergoes a change. Then from that, the total subtle universe becomes manifest. Pranaha, manaha, pranaha and manaha. These two words imply the entire subtle universe. Why? Because pranas, mind, prana, physiological functions, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, all of them together constitute what? Subtle body. Now, manaha means the cosmic mind, all the minds put together, all the pranas, these two words stand for all the sense powers and powers of organs of actions. Therefore, samashti sukshma prapanchaha, the entire subtle universe is what now? Modified form of Maya. Maya undergoes a change, We don't need to question how does Maya undergo change, what change takes place in the part of Maya to become this. All that Upanishad is not interested. Upanishad does not go into details of how Maya has become the universe. Upanishad is not interested in explaining that. Why? Because Upanishad's aim is to make us and help us understand what is that unchanging truth without which the universe cannot exist at all. That is why Upanishad does not go into the details of how the matter undergoes a change, what changes happen on the matter, how the universe becomes, you know, it becomes a universe, etc., etc. The details of creation, Upanishad does not go into the details of Srishti. It just says, if Brahman plus Brahman, Brahman alone is there, and the Shakti, the matter in whole subtlest form, does not exist outside of Brahman, the awareness, then what happened? The Brahman alone with Maya Shakti bulges, it's called Annam, and from that the Maya undergoes a change, thereby first subtle universe comes into manifestation. It's called what? Pranaha Manaha. And afterwards, further the Maya undergoes a change, the further manifestation becomes what now? The Virat, the entire Samashti Sthula Prapanchaha, the entire gross universe also becomes manifest. So whether it is sthula prapanchaha or suksha prapanchaha, subtle or gross, both the universe, okay, subtle and gross universes are nothing but manifestation of the only Maya Shakti. So this universe unmanifest is what? Maya. Maya manifest is what? Universe. Gold modified is what? Chain. Chain, okay, melted back is what? Gold. Okay, that's all. So here, Maya manifest is universe. Universe unmanifest is what? Maya. Be you manifest or unmanifest, Maya or the manifest universe, where does it exist? In awareness. That awareness unchanging reality. Is it clear now? This is what Upanishad expects us to understand. Therefore, this. And then, not only that, when the grass universe, it talks about the grass universe, it implies how all the Kauran karma, when the karmas are ready, the karma phalam being such, it has to be exhausted at a given time. According to the karma phalas of the jivas, now the srishti again takes place. So all the jivas, all the beings, all the bodies, all that we require to live in this life, everything is there already in the plan, the scheme of things. Amazing, isn't it? Before we come, we are born here. To breathe us, we have oxygen. To eat, we have food. For the light, we have sun. Look at this. Everything is given. Everything you are given. You are simply sent here, pushed here. All that this organism needs to survive, now, with the instinct to survive, and all that it is needs to fulfill its natural urges, everything is here. Imagine if we had to, suppose you to go to moon when we try. We had to carry oxygen cylinders with us, because we are scared we may not get an oxygen there. We had to go with oxygen cylinders, even to go to moon. We had to, so much we had to arrange. And before we are born here, everything is already there. Complete. Isn't it? So here, this is what is Srishti here. And what does it say here? Come on. This is Maya. What is manifest as a universe? Sthula prapancha, suksha prapancha. Or it's unmanifest as the very just the Maya. It does not exist outside of awareness. Therefore, what? Our Brahman is not Maya, but Maya Shakti is nothing but Brahman. So Brahman is not the Jagat, but Jagat is not outside of Brahman. Whole Jagat is what? Brahman. Whole Jagat is Ishvara. Ishvara is not the Jagat. Jagat is Ishvara. Lord is not the universe, but the universe is nothing but the Lord. So where is the Lord? Whole universe is the Lord. I said now, so how many realities are there now? Only reality. Actually, that reality is what actually you. The self of every being is the meaning of the word I. So every individual, when he or she means I, that I, the first person singular pronoun I, implies, okay, actually the one consciousness, the only indivisible, partless whole, the reality. So every individual has to say what? No, mean the I. That the meaning of the word I in every individual is what? Implied only the reality. That reality is one and the same. Look at this. Every individual, no, has to refer to oneself. Any individual has to refer to oneself using the first person singular pronoun I. That I, the substance of the substantive I, is equal to what actually that I implies definitely, exactly the knower, the consciousness. And that consciousness implied by the I happens to be one indivisible, partless whole. We say, Madatma Sarvabhutatma. How can you sing that? Madatma Sarvabhutatma. If you do not know the self, you can never sing it. Madatma Sarvabhutatma. Sarvesham Bhutanam Atma. The self of all the beings is myself. Okay? Myself is the self of all the beings. When you say myself, what do you mean? You don't mean the body, you don't mean the mind, you don't mean the senses. You just mean what? The awareness. What is awareness? The pure awareness which is implied by the I. Therefore, the substance of the substantive I is pure awareness. And what awareness? That is the same awareness implied by, okay, I, referred to by any individual. Understand that when an individual, when one refers to oneself, everyone uses the pronoun I. Therefore, what? The self of all the beings is one and the same. Isn't it? Therefore, this is the only reality. So this is what actually all that is there is only reality. The whole jagat is manifestation of the only reality. Okay? There is nothing outside of the whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge. In fact, the jagat and Ishwara are not separate. Okay? Inseparable. Understand? This is what is the teaching actually. So the seventh mantra reveals Brahman being the middle cause of the universe. And then the ninth mantra talks about Brahman being the efficient, intelligent cause of the universe. How? Because without the knowledge, nothing is possible. Isn't it? The whole jagat, the jagat is manifestation of, we say, cause and effect. Within this realm of, the jagat exists in the realm of cause-effect system, and all which implies all the functions, you know, and the living beings or non-living things, there are functions involved, and any function implies an order involved in that function, and order has to be backed by knowledge. That knowledge is nothing but manifestation of the reality. Understand now? Which is of the nature of, which is pure knowledge. The pure knowledge, the reality alone, is manifest as knowledge, okay, backing the order involved in all the functions which constitute the lives of all the beings here. Is it clear? The whole jagat is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, any knowledge is what? Not outside of Brahman. If a source of knowledge, what? So any knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. Look at this. Please listen to me carefully. Knowledge of anything always rises in the form of a thought. ஒரு பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவு எண்ணமாகத்தான் தோன்றுகிறது. How much ever you study, how much ever you know, any knowledge, where is the knowledge? Is it on your toes, on your thighs, or on your stomach? Where is the knowledge? Knowledge always rises in the form of a thought. Isn't it? And where is the thought? No thought is outside of awareness. And knowledge is not outside of awareness. What is awareness? The pure knowledge. The pure knowledge is the source of any knowledge risen as the thought. There is no knowledge outside of awareness. Understand? What is source of this? Arivin ootru. Yengirindu ooru ippadiye vandhittirukku gnanamna. Gnana ootru bhagavanukku oru peru. Arivin ootru. Understand now? So, spring of knowledge. In fact, what is the truth? From where any knowledge just manifests. There is no source of knowledge other than the reality. Therefore, wherever any knowledge takes place, whoever discovers anything newly, whoever invents anything newly, understand now, any invention, any discovery, any finding out, any search which produces a result, anywhere, any knowledge is what? In fact, the discovery of the knowledge which is already there as the awareness, as the pure knowledge. Any knowledge, any bit of knowledge is what? Fraction of fullness, in fact. Mudumayana arivin, fraction is what? Fraction of total knowledge is what? Any discovery is a fraction of total knowledge. So manifestation. Therefore, who is the source of all knowledge? That's why knowledge is never created. Any knowledge is already there. Your only discovery is knowledge. Discovering what is already is knowledge. Or you can say, dispelling of ignorance is what? Knowledge. Then no knowledge is ever created. இருப்பதை கண்டுபிடித்தலே அறிவுனா. That is why what? Discovering what is already is knowledge. That is why knowledge is what now? Not created. It's only manifestation. Look at this. You have knowledge, is it created or it is manifestation? Is knowledge manifestation or creation? Tell me. It's only manifestation. It is not created. Why? Anything created means, which should not have been earlier. Munname, understand? If it was not there before, If it is something brought into existence newly, then you can say it is creation. What do you mean by here? A knowledge is already there, but it remains covered by ignorance. So discovery of what is what? Knowledge. Therefore, that means knowledge is already there. Where is it? It is in the form of pure knowledge. Source of knowledge. Therefore, what? You only man. Understand the source of knowledge is what? What can I say then? Source of any knowledge. Anything which has been discovered earlier, anything which is being discovered now, anything which is going to be discovered any time in future, doesn't matter. All knowledge is already there. This our rishis know. Doesn't matter how much you have discovered, how much is yet to be discovered. Understand? One thing we can be very clear. How much ever is going to be discovered in future. See, after thousands of years and hundreds of thousands of years, even in future generation, you know how our children will be. Maybe they'll all go to school every day in cricket. They may go to school in aircraft. You don't know. They may go to school. Now people come to, coming from Coimbatore to Bangalore. Once upon a time was a big thing for me. My grandfather came to the station and made lots of arrangements. My God, going away, to go away from 7 hours journey from Coimbatore to Bangalore, to go and study there, leaving the house. The whole family made a very big fuss, really. It's a very big matter, my God, sending the girl away. Know that? Not sent. And afterwards, now sending girls and boys from India to America and UK is another big leap. Now maybe there will be a time where our children will be sent to different planets. We don't know. Maybe something might happen. Every house might have one rocket instead of cars, and all children will get in the rocket and just go from here to, and they go in the morning by rocket to moon and sun. Maybe sun they can't go. Moon and other places. And they'll come back in the evening. It might happen. And all the technology might improve. They would have discovered all those things in the future. Maybe. Maybe by the time we would all be not here. Not here. Anything may happen. Now what I'm saying here, any amount of fact which will be discovered in the future, any amount of fact which have already been discovered, we're still being under research and investigation which are being discovered. For all the discoveries, okay, the source of knowledge is one, that is reality, okay, pure consciousness, the pure knowledge, that reality you can understand as the meaning of the word I, as the knower, understand? That is why the reality happens, source of knowledge, no knowledge outside of reality, is sarvajna. Who is all knowing? The mind, as a mind, it cannot know everything. Understand now? So mind also has the capacity to know. How much can it know? It can know very little. Mind has its limitation. How this eyes have limitations seeing? Sitting here, I can see so far, okay? Not beyond the trees. I have the capacity to see sitting here without going that far. I can see there's a limit, isn't it? How far my eyes can, the range of my sight. My eyes, now I have the capacity. But sitting here I cannot see like Hanjaya, what is happening in Croydon House, which Keith is going to buy later on. What is happening there? Oh, Nina, I see a beautiful lake inside. Is there a lake? I can't see all those things. That means what? Now there's a limitation, isn't it? Limitation. Eyes have their limitations. Eyes have certain capacities, then have some limitation also. Similarly, this mind also has what? Great capacity to know so many things. But still, mind also has limitation. It cannot know everything. But any, no mind is outside of knowledge, and no thought is outside of knowledge, no knowledge is outside of pure knowledge. Therefore, source of all knowledge, wherein all knowledge is already there, that is what is said to be sarvajnaha. Not only sarvajnaha, all the knowledge in detail also. Suppose if there is a plant, there's a tree, shrub, and herb, and bush, and varieties of beings, varieties of living beings, creatures, mobile, immobile creatures, varieties of functions, varieties of living organisms, and all that, for all that to be there, to be functioning, to be back in the order, manifestation, knowledge of the manifestation are just tremendously different. And all that is what? Detailed knowledge also is what? Nothing but manifestation of the same reality. How the heart should function, how the kidneys should function, how the lungs should function, the knowledge is different, isn't it? But the knowledge involved in the function of heart, knowledge involved in function of kidneys, not function of heart and lung, everything is manifestation of the knowledge, only pure knowledge. That is why detailed knowledge, the source of detailed knowledge also is what? See, people always can get confused. Detailed knowledge means, I should know why the flower is. Not like that. Detailed knowledge means what? Detailed knowledge means the knowledge manifest, no, manifest in different functions. Knowledge backing the different orders involved in different functions. My God, everything is what? Same knowledge. That is why detailed knowledge. Detailed knowledge, we think, we want to know, can I have detailed knowledge? We can have the detailed knowledge, but very limited again. The more detailed knowledge we have, very little thing. I told you what is PhD already. Isn't it? We have to spend more and more and more and more of time to know the least. Then you get on PhD. By then we would have lost all our hair. Isn't it? Nobody has got PhD at the age of 15, 13, 14. Always we get old. So please understand it. Detailed knowledge means, understand? When I say source of all knowledge is consciousness. And the detailed knowledge means the knowledge, the manifest knowledge which is backing the order involved in different functions is nothing but the same reality. Who is the source of detailed knowledge? Awareness. Therefore, sarvajnaha, a source of all knowledge, sarvajnaha, a source of all detailed knowledge, sarvavit. There is no sarvajnaha, there is no sarvavit other than Brahman, the Ishwara, the Lord. There is no all-knowing. Now, okay, in terms of, no, in generally or in detail also. There is no other all-knowing person. Sarvajnaha, all-knowing. Sarvit also all-knowing. And in fact, the Jnani is said to be Sarvajnaha, all-knowing. That means, One whose mind knows the reality, the source of all knowledge. Look at this. The one whose mind has the knowledge of the reality, the source of all knowledge, is said to be a sarvajnaha. Why? Because that person's desire to know anything else comes to an end. Therefore, he said to be sarvajnaha. That does not mean a jnani knows everything like Brahman. Okay? And where, because here, when you say jnani sarvajnaha, he really knows, he has done the act of know, okay? For him knowing the truth. His mind has made efforts to know the truth and he has known the truth. Whereas when you say Brahman is all-knowing means, their knowing is not an action. It's a surupam. Is it clear? Suppose if I illumine this room, I want to illumine this dark room. I go inside. Look at this. I go inside. I take few candles and put them all in a proper stand. Light the candles and bring the candles here and come and stand here like this, holding the stand of candles. And I illumine the room. And okay, oh, Swami is the illuminator of the room. Understand? But there is an action. But even though I am not illuminated, even then I become instrumental in now bringing this light, fire here. Light here. But when you say sun is all illumining, it's an action. Sun is all illuminator means what? Not an action. So, Rupam, sun is, everything is illumined. So, reality is, knowledge is. Therefore, the reality, that's why only when we understand the self, we will understand how the reality is, both sarvajnaha and sarvit. Okay? Now we understand, who is all-knowing? Ishvara is the all-knowing. Ishvara is the only all-knowing. generally or in detail. Okay, therefore, Sarvagharavita. And this verse says, the whole jagat is manifestation of, if Bhishra is pure knowledge, look at this. Yishra Swarupam is pure knowledge. See, sun Swarupam is light, means what? All the light, the light you see, wherever you see, nothing but manifestation of what? The only sunlight, isn't it? Similarly, we say here, Ishvara is pure knowledge, means source of all knowledge, detailed knowledge and knowledge in general. When you say Ishvara is the source of knowledge, there is no knowledge other than reality. When you say Ishvara is the pure knowledge, means the whole jagat is manifestation of Ishvara, means the whole jagat is what? Manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? Do you get it or not what I'm saying? You see, Ishvara is the pure knowledge. Ishvara happens to be the pure knowledge. Ishvara is the source of knowledge. But the whole jagat is manifestation of Ishvara, means the whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge. That is what is said to be the ninth verse. Ninth verse says, the Ishvara being the intelligent cause of the universe. Now, eighth verse says, Ishvara being the material cause of the universe. In fact, Ishvara is both inseparable, material and the efficient cause of the universe is revealed by the seventh verse. Is clear now? So, three verses talk about the jagat karanatva of Ishvara. And the srishti, where the srishti is discussed, just to make us understand arevat, the oneness of reality. Understand? The whole jagat being mithya. We have to say reality, jagataha karanam, which is there is jagataha karanam, cause of the universe, Brahman, the reality alone is satyam. Whole jagat is mithya. This is Brahma satyam jagan mithya. This knowledge has to become clear. To make this knowledge clear, srishti is always discussed. Not to understand and talk about how the srishti has come into being, not to. It's all mysterious. Understand, it will break up, how much you, it will make you go mad, really speaking, if you go and talk about the srishti. So Upanishad does not go into details. Now, how we, when we make something, we talk about no srishti. How we make it? How do you make this? A big question, okay? How do you make Purnam? What you did first, what you soaked first, how did you grind it, what you added, what should be the texture of it, and how you made the, you know, the flour, and how you minted, and how you boiled it. It's a big discussion. It's a processing. Not like that here. Upanishad is not interested in saying how the Maya has become Jagat. Not interested. Just know, this has become that. Okay, but this is not outside of that reality. The whole jagat is not outside of reality. Okay, the whole jagat has no independent existence, being maya karyam. Understand? Therefore, what is now? Mithya. So what? Satyam is what? Reality is satyam. What is a satyam? Where can I know? That is what is you. Know that. If I know what is there, if you know that, you will not be there. That means what? Ankara would have been resolved. You will not be there means what? Ahankara will be resolved. You will be very much there. You will not disappear. Ahankara will not be there. Understand? I sense, a strong I sense in the body, mind, sense complex will be resolved. That's a big thing. You know that? The hold. You lose the hold. Therefore, this is the first section of the first mundakam. And second mundakam, what's that? Oh, we have to chant now. The second mundakam, now you can relax for some time. The second mundakam is going to talk about only aparavidya. Especially about the karma kandaha. Little bit of, this mundaka open is going to give you, no, in a nutshell, so you're going to present in a nutshell a little bit. You can taste how the karma kanda will be. You can have the taste of Karmakanda, flavor of Karmakanda. Understand where? In second Mundaka. Second section of first Mundaka. Why does this Upanishad, this student asks for knowledge of the Brahman? Okay, knowing what is one thing, knowing which everything else becomes as well known. That was a question asked. And in between, he talked about paravidya and aparavidya. Then he talked about what? He only one verse, he revealed the Swarupam of Brahman. And second, then he talked about Brahman being both the causes. Then the other verse, he revealed Brahman being the material cause of the universe. The fourth verse, he said Brahman being the efficient cause of the universe. That's all. Now he's jumped into again Karma Kanda. Why does he talk about karma? Because in between, it's called as Thanu Nikrana Nyaya. Okay, when you dig the hole, you are interested in putting a pendle. So you have to dig and put a post there. Then, if you can't put a pendle on a post which is still shaky, it has to be firmly rooted. Therefore, before he starts, he wants to start really teaching paravidya, giving paravidya, which is like putting a pendle. No. He wants to see whether these posts are shaky or not. Okay? Therefore, one has to make sure, one should know, definitely, it is very important to perform karma at the same time. Karma will definitely produce a phalam, and that karma phalam has to be definitely exhausted. No one can ever escape the karma phalam, and what whatever great karma phalam, the karma can produce, that karma phalam definitely is not going to be moksha. Whatever will be the greater and greater and great fruits the karma can produce, that will not be moksha. Therefore, by talking about what are all the karmas possible, what some karma, how karmas produce phalam, and those karma phalams can be definitely karma phalams always time bound. We need to know very clearly karma produces phalam, and that phalam has to be exhausted, and that phalam is going to be definitely time bound. And karma cannot give moksha. And moksha, a choiceless end, is not accomplishable through as a karma phalam by performing karma. Jnanam alone will help you accomplish karma. This thing must become very clear. Okay? Therefore, only then we will be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Otherwise, in between, little interest in jnanam. One day jnanam and one day something else. You know, some other commitments, priorities. No, this sort of, because Upanishad expects, okay, some classes people come, some classes people bunk, because they're not interested in Shastram, they're very much interested in Shastram, but still they're not only interested in Shastram, they're also interested in some other things. This is natural for us to be clinging on to so many things. Therefore, priority has to become very clear. What shall we do? No? Upanishad itself has decided to talk about the karma. Instead of talking about Brahman, okay, come on, Brahman, you can always know, it is very you. How long will it take for you to be yourself? Okay? You are not even going to attain yourself. You have to be yourself. To be yourself, what do you want? You need to know. But the poor mind doesn't sit with itself. It needs a lot of preparation, isn't it? Imagine, even for a child to start with the kindergarten. 3-year-old child first goes to first kinder play school, first day of the school. That day, mother looks at the child. Oh, imagine the day, she imagines the day of PhD. And coming out with that convocation cap, gown and all those things. Oh my God. Oh, how long it will take. Same way Shastram looks at us. Come on, okay. You're all here. I'm here just to help you discover moksha, which is very you. But you have to be committed to the knowledge. Understand? But what do? Therefore, it's like, you know, the Shastram is very clear. What karma can do, what karma cannot do. What is that you want in life? Therefore, what is that knowledge alone can do? Only then, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible. Then, it is easy for the mind which is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, you know, will be distraction-free mind, will be focused mind, will be attentive mind. Then it is very easy for the Upanishad to, you know, to talk about Brahman. It needs, you know, therefore, it's off just to prepare the mind for, to make the mind more focused and more attentive and more distraction-free, thereby, you know, be easy for the Upanishad to reveal the Rupa of Brahman. He wants to prepare the mind by making the mind clear about knowing what karma can do, what karma cannot do. Therefore, the second section of the first mundakam will be discussing about only karma and karma phalam. Is it okay? That we'll see next class. We'll start the next class. Om Tachayoravranemahe Gatam Yajnaya.